Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. The Medical School HQ podcast, session number 91.
You really want to use that time to get to know the students and try to start assessing whether or not you were a good fit for the school. And that's what I think the most important thing about that interview, the night before the interview, is.
Hey, this is Z-Dog MD, rapper, physician, legendary turntable health revolutionary, and part-time gardener. And you're listening to the Medical School HQ podcast, hosted by the irredeemably awesome Ryan Gray.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and I believe that competition amongst your pre-med and medical student peers is detrimental to becoming a great physician. In this podcast, we show you how collaboration, hard work, and honesty are critical to becoming a superior physician in today's healthcare environment. If you're planning on taking the MCAT anytime soon, go to freemcatgift.com and download our 30-plus page report all about the MCAT. It even includes some discount codes for MCAT prep. Also, don't forget about premedlife.com, our partner magazine here at the medical school headquarters. You can find them at premedlife.com. Today, I have Dr. Greg Politis back again for the fourth time. Now, if you remember, we had Dr. Politis recently back in session 88, where we talked all about how to write a personal statement for medical school. You can find that interview at medicalschoolhq.net/88 as in episode 88. He was also with us back in session 35, where we talked about fixing a medical school application after starting pre-med poorly. So what you as a pre-med can do if you started off on the wrong foot and maybe got some poor grades, what you can do to show admissions committees that you can handle medical school. His first time with us was back in session 23. Again, you can find that medicalschoolhq.net/23, where we talked about a lot of his journey, pre-med life in general, and the program that he runs at Wash U called Med Prep. It's a course for pre-med students all about the pre-med path. It's kind of like our podcast, but you get course credit for it. It's kind of cool. So, again, episodes 23, 35, 88, and now here in session 91. Dr. Politis is an amazing guy to give us his time. He teaches at the undergrad school at Wash U. He teaches at the medical school at Wash U in St. Louis, and he's on the admissions committee there, volunteers his time for the admissions committee there. So he knows what he's talking about. And he's going to join us today and talk about the medical school interview, something that is anxiety-provoking for a lot of students out there because it's your first big interview for the most part, unless you had to do one for undergrad or you're a non-traditional student and have interviewed for work. So we're going to start by talking about what you should do once you get that interview request in the mail, and if you should start preparing for the interview and how you should start preparing for the interview. So, Greg, let's go ahead and start there. Should I, if I'm applying and I get that letter in the mail, should I start preparing for an interview right there? And what should I do?
Well, I think number one, yes, preparing is very important. When a student shows up for their interview, they really need to have done a little bit of prep work about the school before they show up. Because one of the last things you want to do is to have an applicant show up and during the portion of the interview where you can ask questions to ask questions that really could be found on the website. It really just doesn't show a true, genuine interest in the school if you don't at least know something about the school. So that's the first thing I would do. And really all the other preparation that we'll talk about in this podcast is something that you can do before you even get your first interview.
Yeah. And it's funny, you mentioned questions that maybe are answered on the website. I would hope that students are doing a lot of this review beforehand, before they even are getting those invitations, because I would hope that they're reviewing schools that they're applying to make sure that that's where they want to go anyway.
Right. I think that's probably the case. You know, the average number of interviews that most applicants apply to, the average is 14 schools. From year to year, it's always 13 to 14. And, there probably is a certain degree of applying to a school because of either the reputation or the name without knowing much else about it. I think when it comes time to getting down into the nitty gritty about a school, you can start doing that a little bit later after maybe you've interviewed and seen the school. You know, if you really don't have a preference between traditional curricula and problem-based learning, you could probably put that on hold until you see the school. And then if you get accepted, then that can be something you weigh a little bit more heavily. But knowing, you know, some generalities about the school and the class and that kind of thing, I think is an important thing students should do.
Okay. So I get the email for an invitation, and I realize that I'm going to be out of the country. Are there kind of concessions for students that might not be around for an interview in person?
Well, that really depends on the school. I would think that most schools would not have too many concessions for that. And the reason is because, you know, the interview isn't just about us meeting you. It's about you meeting us and meeting our students and seeing our school and really seeing if this is the right place for you. And that's just something you can't do through Skype, mm-hmm. You know. So that personal interaction and meeting is really important.
Okay. As I am preparing for an interview that I have next month or a couple months later, what should I be thinking about in that preparation? Maybe walk us through these steps of preparing so that on interview day I'm ready to rock.
Okay. So the first thing is, like I mentioned, understand the school, explore their website, know a little bit about the school. And then the other thing I would say is you really want to be prepared for specific content areas. And what I mean by that is you want to make sure that you kind of know the hot topics that are in the news, at least enough that you can intelligently discuss them. And
so you would mean like Obamacare right now is in the news?
Well, exactly.
You know, that kind of stuff?
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, if you show up in an interview and you're completely uninformed about the PPACA, that's not good. Okay. You really want to understand what's, you know, the major points of it and have an opinion that you're willing to discuss. Now, here's the tricky part is students often ask me if I state an opinion on something, if I'm asked about my opinion, is that kind of a dangerous area. And what I think is you should be able to form an opinion and discuss it in a way that also shows a respectful tone towards someone who has a differing opinion. And at least when I think of those who serve on our admissions committee, we're not really looking for what your opinion is as much as we are your ability to defend it, how well your thoughts are informed thoughts, and that you also demonstrate respect and the knowledge that other people have other opinions as well. When you approach it that way, if your opinion is diametrically opposed to what I believe, but you've thought about it, I can tell you thought about it, that's your opinion, that's fine. That is fine. So that again falls in that category of not trying to overthink things. You don't want to try to just give the interviewer an answer that you think they want to hear, but one that you've really based on information and research and understanding that. And the PPACA is a complex enough topic that's something that I think students should kind of have a real-time knowledge of and pay attention as things are changing. I mean, if you have an interview 2 months from the day you get your interview letter, there could be some changes in those 2 months that come up, you know, the week before your interview. So you really need to stay on top of that. And other areas I think you should be prepared for are really any other kind of hot topics in the news. Now, some of these I think could fall into the area where they're kind of uncomfortable areas. And to be honest with you, I don't dive into these because I don't like to have an interview experience where the student feels like they're put on the spot, where they feel like they're under a hot light, you know, being interrogated. And I think, you know, that's the approach that I know from our admissions committee. We want students to leave St. Louis with a great feeling about their experience. And it's not meant to be this analytical process where they feel like they're being grilled. But with that being said, you know, medical schools do things in different ways. So you may go to a medical school that could bring up the topic of, you know, medical ethics topics, late term abortion. That's one I would never go into. I think that just kind of can derail the interview. But what if that were to come up? Why not be prepared and have an idea of what you would say? And in med prep, I tell our students, I go through some of these kind of difficult areas. I say, at least think about them enough that you won't be thrown off guard, that you could at least have an opinion about. Stem cell research, for example, tort reform, medical malpractice, those kind of things. Think about them enough, research them enough, be informed about it, and be able to defend your thoughts on it. And hopefully you will not have an experience where some of these really kind of uncomfortable questions will come up, but you always want to be more prepared than you would have otherwise if you just didn't want to go into that area.
Okay. All right. So understanding the school, preparing for some of these hot topics in the news, specific kind of content stuff, what's the next step somebody should do?
Well, I think a couple things. Now, this is backtracking a little bit, but the application picture that you have before you go, you know, when decisions are made to interview, it's based on your entire application. And that entire application also includes your application picture. And when we look at your application and we see somebody who is, you know, is looks affable, looks, clean cut enough, you know, that they and they took time to have a nice picture. I think that's an important thing. So, because we put that all together, if I see someone's application picture and they've got a nice smile and they look professional, this is somebody that I want to meet. So really the interview starts with that as well as the rest of your application. So the next steps I think really is when you go to the interview, many schools offer some kind of event either the night before or the day of. And, I think that's also number one, something you should attend. I've seen applicants before that came in, and I always ask them, did you go to the student pizza party last night? Just to find out if they got good information. And if they say, yes, I did, I tend to just say, so what did you learn about our school? If a student says, no, I really didn't get it, I didn't go to it. Well, if they had a late flight, that's fine. But, you know, if you decided you didn't want to go because you had a friend in town from college and you wanted to, you know, meet up with them, you know, that doesn't really send a great signal, you know, that, you know, this is a big thing. This is, you know, don't you want to learn as much about our school as possible? So I would say if there is an event, go. If you can only get a flight that gets you into town at 10 p.m. and you miss that 7 p.m. event, that's okay. I think in my books, you know, schools are going to understand that. But remember to always be on your best behavior anytime you're at any kind of event.
Do you guys have spies out at these events?
No, we don't. And our events aren't really ones in which you could necessarily, you know, get yourself into trouble, I think. You know, residency interviews are a little bit different because, you know, residency interviews, you may go out, you know, for dinner or, you know, go have a drink or something like that. And there's more potential there to, you know, to overdo it, make a fool of yourself, say something inappropriate. But still, the night before, you should kind of in the back of your head think, you know, I should be on my best behavior because saying something inappropriate or doing something inappropriate, you know, it's a small environment. You know, that could get back to, you know, to those who do make the decision. But no, we do not. We don't want our students to feel like they are under a spotlight. So it's not like that at all. But you really want to use that time to get to know the students and try to start assessing whether or not you were a good fit for the school. And that's what I think the most important thing about that interview, the night before the interview, is learn about those things about the school that maybe you might not feel comfortable to ask during the interview. Or, you know, if you ask students, so where do you guys like to go out? You know, that's a question you ask a fellow medical student. It's easier to ask that than to ask the 70-year-old, you know, retired surgeon. And so, you know, that going to that night before, I think, is an important thing. And I think it also will help kind of break the ice and students will be a little bit less nervous. And they learn kind of the personality of the students. And I think that's a great thing.
It's very important. I've talked to students that said, you know what? My number one school, I've had number one as an undergrad, number one since I was a little kid. This is where I wanted to go to medical school. And then I went there.
Right.
And just the vibe wasn't what I expected it to be.
Right.
It just wasn't. And that's okay. And that's what this is for, is to experience
that's exactly
that.
Right. You know, it's all about assessing fit. Mm-hmm. And just because you may not feel like you're a great fit for a particular place doesn't mean it's not a great place. It's just and you know, that vague term fit, how do you define that? You can. It's a gut feeling, and it's a place where you say, you know, I just feel like I belong. I think I would be happy here. And so that's why you need to take the time to meet the students. The students are really the ambassadors of the school. They really are the ones who, you know, we can say as much as we want and we can show them as much as we can about the school. But when they meet the students, that's really the crucial thing. And so if you miss that opportunity by not getting to meet some students, I would even say, you know, if you get in town late the night before the interview and there was some event that was their primary way for you to see the students, that I would even say try in some way while you're there the next day, after your interview is over, to try to meet some students.
Okay.
So I think that's the main thing. Now, you know, the morning of, depending on the school, you may have some introduction to the school, either through a slideshow or a presentation. You may have a breakfast with students. I would say, of course, you go to all those. You know, you don't really. Anything that's optional, I would still go to. You're only going to be in town for a very brief period of time. You really have a lot of information you need to absorb about the place. And I would say take advantage of that. Don't be hesitant to ask questions. I think that's another fear that students have. I've never, ever been taken aback by a question a student has. If they have a question, I'm here to give them information. And I want them to feel free to ask me anything. If I can't answer it because it's really more of a student-oriented kind of question, then I'll try to get the information for them from a student. And so I try to always end the interview by saying, if you think of something later that you can't think of now and you want more information, just let me know and I can connect you with a student if you want to talk with or something. So, the information gathering is not over once the interview stops. Students will still have the opportunity to learn more about the school.
And that's an important piece of the interview, is that kind of rebuttal. Okay, I've been asking you questions this whole time. Now it's time to ask me some. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of students go in unprepared, and so they don't have anything to ask and say, nope, I don't have any questions.
Yeah.
And that just makes it look like you're not very interested.
Right.
But then you have to go back to, well, don't ask black and white questions that you can get off the website too.
Right.
We've been doing a lot of mock interviews for some of the members of the Academy, and one of the questions that they asked at the end of this mock interview was, if your daughter was applying to medical school, would you want them to go here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a very interesting question.
Yeah.
It's an opinion-based question, and it makes the interviewer possibly think a little bit more.
Right.
What's the most interesting question you've gotten from a student?
That's hard to say. I think, some students will ask those kind of questions. I think just in general, it's probably good to be careful about not asking a question that sounds too analytical or too kind of clever. I also likewise avoid those kind of questions in an applicant. You know, the ones that really try to get into an applicant's head because I don't know how I would interpret that. You know, I'm not going to ask you, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Because you told me you wanted to be an oak tree. I guess that means you're strong, you have a strong character. I don't know. But the point is that I think that just if you look at a really good interview, it should be like an effortless conversation. You know, just like when you meet a patient for the first time, a patient will make a kind of an assessment of you very early on. When they shake your hand and they look you in the eye. And that's why it's so important to look professional, act professional, to make that great first impression. I think it's the same way with the interview. You know, when you meet somebody and they smile and they're affable, they're likable, right off the bat, you've established a rapport in the very initial parts of the interview. So likewise, when you're ending an interview, I think going out on a good note is a good way. And questions that I've had that I think are really good questions are ones like, so you obviously like your school. Why did you stay on? Now, in my case, because the students learn about us, they know who is going to interview them. We have that information for them. So they do their research. They look us up on the internet. We know that. And so they say, oh, I understand you did your residency training here. Why is it that you decided to stay here at Wash U? I think that's a good question.
Yep.
Ultimately though, the interview is about them and what's interesting to them. So, if a student asks these questions early on in the process, I'll give a brief answer, but then redirect it to them, because it's really about them. At the end, when they ask questions like that, then I'll, take a short period of time and explain that. But I think asking questions like that, asking someone if you genuinely are interested about their research, I think that's always a good question. You know, again, I would never look at an applicant and penalize them because they didn't have questions at the end. I mean, I don't even look at anything in terms of a penalty. That's not even a right way to say it. But I don't look at it as a negative if a student doesn't have questions. But if you really are worried about that as a student, asking some kind of, kind of friendly questions to kind of end on a good note about their specialty or about their research, about their preference for this, what they like about the school, I think that's usually a good way to go.
Okay. I brought up mock interviews just a minute ago, and we haven't talked about that yet. Mm-hmm. What do you see as a role for mock interviews for students in preparation for the medical school interview?
I think they are incredibly important, and I would recommend that every student do a mock interview. And the reason is that you really don't notice some of the nervous habits that you may have until you have had a chance to have someone kind of critique your performance afterwards. And I think it's a good thing to do. You will kind of recognize some things that will just help you polish your interview skills. And I used to do mock interviews a while back, and you would have students that would fidget, some that would say too much. You'd have those that would maintain good eye contact. Some students who wouldn't answer the question. You know, that's very important. You're asked a question, and, you know, do you actually answer the question, or do you kind of, you know, trail off into another area? You know, are your answers appropriate to the question that's being asked in terms of length? Most questions, most interviews are going to start out with a simple question, you know, welcome, tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. And that tell me about yourself, you know, that's something that in a mock interview you can kind of fine tune, because how much of yourself do you want to tell in an introductory question like that? I've seen some students that start out and say, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh and I've got two brothers and sisters. My father's a gastroenterologist, and, you know, my mother is a banker, and I've wanted to be a physician since I was, you know, 8 years old, and I'm really looking forward, you know, to starting down this path. To me, that's kind of a nice little intro. But then I've had others that could go on, you know, for 15 minutes and
reciting their whole CV.
Well, and again, it turns into the same thing as, like, you know, like a personal statement. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but if you can just feel comfortable with introducing yourself in kind of a nice way, because you will have time in your interview to let all that unfold. And so that's where a mock interview can really help you, just to kind of lay it out and kind of start the process, start the, you know, developing a rapport. Mm-hmm. And so I think everyone should do a mock interview.
Yeah. And try to get it recorded as best you can. I think everybody has video cameras in their pockets these days with phones.
Right.
So
right.
Record it so that you can watch yourself with these nervous tics that you may have.
Right.
And then I think one of the most important things is, I've had comments, students watching back their recording going, wow, it sounded so much better in my head. And then once you actually say it out loud, because I don't right. think a lot of students prepare by talking out loud. They just think about things.
Right.
And then once it comes out of their mouth, they're like, that's totally different than what I was thinking.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. That's why I don't like to listen to these podcasts after I do them, because I'll be like, wow, I said a lot, didn't I?
You were just critiquing them for saying
Yes, that's right. And then I did it,
That's all right. This isn't a medical school interview, so it's okay.
No, that's right. That's right.
You're allowed. All right. So another big thing that maybe we can talk about is appearance. Everybody worries, do I have to wear a suit? Does it have to be black? I'm a female. Do I have to wear a dress? Do I have to wear a pants suit? As an admissions committee member, are you guys taking snapshots of everybody going, wow, they just totally didn't dress up enough for this one, or their heels were way too big?
No, we aren't. What I would say, first of all, going back again to the application pictures, that's where I have seen, and not a lot, but I have seen very quirky application pictures. I saw one individual who applied without a shirt on, and that was in his medical school application picture. So, you know, I think it's best the way you want to look at this is, the advice that I give about being relatively conservative in your appearance is the fact that why bring attention to something that is not going to influence the decision for you in this process? That really should be a kind of a neutral effect. So someone's clothing should really have a neutral effect. There's no one that's going to come in and I'm going to go, holy cow, you know, this person isn't really competitive for our school, but their dress is just incredible. Let's bring them in.
We need to have
them. You know, we need to have them because that dress, that suit was just, it was just incredible. So what I would say is be professional. You do not need to go out and buy a, you know, an expensive outfit at all. But it should be something that doesn't raise question marks or just kind of make you think, what was that person thinking? So that's where the kind of the conservative appearance of either maybe a navy blue or a black suit, that's fine. And I've also heard some students say, well, I hear everyone wears a navy blue suit, so I'm not going to do that. But that's not how you want to be standing out, is based on what suit you were wearing, or dress. So I would say dress professional, dress where when someone looks at you, it's really a non-issue. Dress should not even be entering into the mind of an applicant in a positive or negative. It's just you look professional, and it's as simple as that. I've had questions, should I wear, you know, the really bright tie, the quirky thing, that, you know, if you wear something and I just don't think that that's necessary for you to stand out. And depending on who you're interviewing with, you never know the personality of the person you're interviewing, who may be very just not quite understand, why didn't you choose, you know, that Garfield tie with the, you know. So I would just say dress conservative and be clean and appropriate. And I would say, yes, every medical school applicant, every male applicant should be wearing a suit and a tie. And every female applicant should be dressed very professionally as well. You know, you should really be kind of in your Sunday best for your interview. Let's put it that way.
Okay. It's an important day.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the things now is a change to the MMI for a lot of schools, the multi-mini interview, the multiple mini interview. So you have the MMI, you have open interviews, you have closed interviews. As a student, should that be something that if I'm interviewing at school X, I go and find out how they interview so that I can prepare specifically for that type of interview?
No, I would not try to target a school and try to figure out ahead of time which is the way you do it. I mean, you could probably find that information out quite easily by, you know, looking on the internet or talking with students who have already gone there. I would just say that in your preparation for mock orals, that you can do that. So, you know, the multiple mini interview is becoming more popular at some schools, or at schools throughout the country. Where really they'll essentially have anywhere from 6 to 10 timed sessions, that applicants rotate through. And at each station, the applicants present it with a question or a scenario or a task to do. And you know, it's just another means of trying to assess that applicant. And I think by just being prepared in general, by being informed, I think that's really the best you're going to be able to do. I think that trying to assess your communication skills is an important thing. And if an applicant feels that they just don't have good communication skills, that's something they should work on, because it's an important aspect of being a physician. And that's why these mock interviews will help. If you are someone who answers every question with a yes or no, and no more than that, or if you're someone who can't focus on the question being asked, or you ramble on forever, those are things that can hurt you. And you really won't notice if you're doing it unless somebody actually tells you.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessary for you to have to. I think it could make you more anxious if you are overly planning for each school to try to decide what's their format, how many people do your interview with. You, just like in medicine, you need to be able to adapt. You need to be flexible. Be yourself. I think if you focus on being yourself, being affable, smiling, you know, you should do that. I give you an interesting story. There was a student that I interviewed for medical school at WashU who became one of our medical students, and was really one of a student who came to me throughout medical school at times just for advice. And he went to one of his residency interviews, and after a couple interviews, he didn't feel like it was going well. And he asked if, you know, he could sit down with me and talk about the interview process. And he came basically dressed like a mock interview, dressed very nice in a suit. And I went through and I did do a mock interview. And when it was done, I asked him, I said, how did you, when you interviewed with me for medical school, were you nervous? And he said, no, I wasn't. And I said, why? And he says, well, you know, I didn't feel nervous because of the way you asked the questions and you didn't make the experience nervous. I said, okay. But this interview that we just did, you seemed nervous. You seemed more tense than what I remember 3 years ago when you interviewed for medical school here. And what do you think the difference is? And what I noticed about his demeanor was that he was very, very kind of stiff and very serious. Not that you need to be, you know, cracking jokes or being, but he was very, very serious. And he was going into a surgical specialty, and he said to me, well, you know, I'm going to be a surgeon. And they're serious. And I said, well, I said, yeah, but you're not a surgeon yet, are you? And I said, you know, the thing that you don't understand is that you're not displaying who you are as a person. You're not showing me the person that I interviewed that I like and that I know, and I know you now, you know, pretty well for a faculty member. This isn't you. This interview was not you. And I said, you just need to be yourself, you know, be affable. Let them see the personality, why you would be a good fit for their residency program. And if you do that, you're going to shine because your application speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And so he went on his next two interviews and he said they went fantastic. He said it was a very different experience for him as well. He didn't feel so anxious. And so if you go in with a thought that I'm going to be professional, but I'm also going to be myself, you know, there's room for gentle humor. There's room for, it's okay to let it be, you know, a flexible interview where you laugh at something. That's all right. That's okay. And when you just maybe loosen up a little bit, I think the interview goes out well, goes over very well. So
having a pre-med here loosen up a little bit is not the easiest thing in the world for them. This is life or death getting into medical school.
Yes. Right. But the point is the whole point of the interview is us getting to know you as a person. And ultimately, I like to end the interview experience by thinking, if I were a student in this class, in this medical school, would I want this individual in my class? You know, are they going to be a good fit for us? And, you know, and I think that if you are at a school where you do interview with a student, and some schools will have you interview with a medical student, I think that's what they're probably trying to assess is, you know, your fit there. And there's nothing better than just trying to connecting with a person. That connection is what each party wants. Yep. And it starts out from the minute that you shake their hand and you make good eye contact, you know. So those are definitely some do's. And then there's some don'ts as well, you know, that you want to avoid. Like I'm sure you're going to ask me about those.
Yeah, let's talk about some don'ts.
So, number one is we mentioned before, you want to come prepared. You want to know the school, the city. So you don't want to be asking questions that you could easily find on the website.
What's the weather like here in the summer?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You want to have questions at the end, but not too many. So, you know, likewise, as an applicant, you don't want to feel like you're being psychoanalyzed. You don't want to psychoanalyze your interviewer at the end. You want to avoid one-word answers. You want to be able to really think about your answer. You don't want to ramble. Don't interrupt the interviewer. Take time to answer the question. And if they're asking a question, wait until they're done. The other thing is, don't just blurt out an answer if you don't know what you're going to say or where you're going with it. And then where that's really going to come into play is when you do have a question like, tell me your opinion on the, you know, on the PPACA. Well, hopefully you've thought about that enough that you can kind of start down that path. But if you do get a question that you are totally not prepared for, it's totally appropriate to take a minute and to think about it. Because what you're demonstrating is that you're going to have a thoughtful response. It's okay to not just kind of, you know, blurt things out. The other thing is, make sure that you know your research and your activities well. If you come in and you do not know, you do not remember what your research was about 3 years ago, that's not good either. And be prepared to discuss those things. You also want to make sure that you're very honest and straightforward in your interview. If you put down in your interview that you, on your application, that you speak fluent Spanish, you know, you could be assigned to someone who also speaks fluent Spanish and who may start the interview out in Spanish, you know. And if you don't know that fluency, that's important. You know, if you say that you're, you know, you love Bruce Springsteen, that person may say, "My God, I love them too. What are your top favorite songs? Five songs that you love about Bruce Springsteen." You know, those are things. The other kind of things I think are what I think of as interview killers. And this is what I tell our students is number one, never curse. You know, a student may feel like they've developed such a rapport with the interviewer that they get too loose, you know, and they drop a word or two that really is completely inappropriate. That's a no-no. Bringing up an inappropriate topic, bringing up something that just is you know, very inappropriate, and that would make the interview uncomfortable. Bad mouthing another professor or another school is another thing that's not a good idea. I don't know if I'd say these are, you know, this is necessarily an interview killer, but if you were asked a question, for example, you know, what was your least favorite course in college? And you said, you know, I just could not stand organic chemistry. We have a professor named Dr. Johnson. I cannot stand the man. I just can't. No. You don't go down that route, you know. Instead, just like anything, instead, think about what things you may have learned. You may say, I found organic chemistry very difficult, but I learned over time how to adapt to, you know, what was required of us for that course. You know, that I think is a huge thing. And then one thing that is a definite interview killer is arrogance. If you somehow come across as, you know what, I'm all that. And I'm getting in here, so let's just get through this you know, process. That is really a negative. So realize that your application is there. It's been reviewed. Or if it's a blind interview, it will be reviewed. But you do not need to brag about anything in your application. Realize that the interview process is not to find out, you know, all that about your academics. It may be to clarify some things, it may be to explore things more in depth, but really, like I said, it's more for each to get to know each other. Yeah. And that's really it. You may have some hypothetical questions that you're asked at some, like I said, I tend to avoid those. But that's where mock interviews can help. You know, if you were in this situation, how would you handle this? Mm-hmm. And then I would also say that, kind of backtracking, going back to the night before when you're with students, be engaged with the people that you're with, but also listen, take time to listen. You know, in general, people like to talk about what they do and what interests them. And so if you have an applicant or you have a first year medical student who's trying to tell you about something they love and you cut them off and you want to do, you know, you're also not really demonstrating, you know, the kind of skills that you, that fellow students would want in a school. So it may not harm you doing it with your medical student, but you wouldn't want to do that during the interview either. And then essentially just be positive and friendly. If you are someone who can come off as very negative, I think that's the thing. And then one other thing that's a little uncomfortable is crying during the interview. That can happen where a student's asked a question and it brings up a memory or it brings up something in the past and they want to talk about it. And it just makes, you know, the person very, I would say if there is a certain topic that triggers that, I would avoid trying to bring that up. I don't think that's, you know, again, this is advice, general advice across the board. And some students may feel that, well, if I cry, then it's actually showing my empathic nature. But you know, everyone can view that a little bit differently. So if you know that you're going to, if you write in your personal statement about some deeply, deeply heart-wrenching experience, there's a high likelihood that's going to come up in the interview. Mm-hmm. And then if that's going to trigger you to break down, I wouldn't go there in my personal statement. So think about that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Or bring lots of tissues.
Yes. Right. Right.
Awesome. Yes. So there's a lot of things that a student can mess up on, but I think for the most part, if you have gone through life and you are quote unquote a normal human being and can communicate well, then be yourself, relax, you'll be fine.
Right. I agree. And just, you know, if you think of some major things, major bullet points is be yourself, smile, don't speak too fast, listen to the question, and be prepared in the other ways about informed about the school. And I think you're going to be fine. The mock interview, that's why it's crucial. And you may find as a student that you need more than one mock interview because you really picked up on some things. And that allows you to really just kind of, you know, go in even more confident.
I like it. So interview day is over, but the process isn't done yet. There's a recommendation to send your interviewer a thank you letter.
Right.
And thank them for their time and the communication and making everything a happy-go-kind of lucky place.
Right.
We have technology these days. Does the letter, this thank you letter, have to be snail mailed, or can an email suffice these days?
I think an email is fine.
Okay.
You know, I do. I think, you know, in some ways an email actually may be a better way, because if you're going to send a hard copy thank you card to your interviewer, which is totally appropriate. And I think, honestly, if you're concerned about that, you can do both. You really can. But I would say doing an email is really a good idea in addition to the card, and that the card is not a absolute necessity. But I think the email is a good idea, and I'll tell you why. If you're sending a hard copy, a thank you note, ideally everything you send, all correspondence, you want in your file. And if it goes through the admissions office, the admissions office will put that in your file. They'll know that you've communicated with the university. But if you're sending your thank you note to, you know, Dr. So-and-so, and his office location is two buildings over from the admissions office, that person may or may not be able to get that, you know, that thank you card over to the admissions office to put in your file. I think it's a little bit more hit or miss. And so if you're corresponding with the school, that electronic communication will definitely be, you know, it more likely that it'll be forwarded to the admissions office from that interviewer. And if a student wants to thank both the interviewer and, you know, use the general committee address, you know, the general admissions office address, that's fine too.
Okay. One other question as we wrap up. if I'm interviewing with you and this is the place that I've dreamt about going my whole entire life, is it appropriate or is there a role for letting the admissions committee members know, hey, I want to go here. This is my number one without a doubt. Accept me and I'll accept you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with demonstrating that this is the school for you. I think you just have to be a little cautious and not being overbearing in the whole process. During your interview, if you should have some opportunity to really kind of express your interest, it's very, very likely that you will be asked a question. So what do you know about WashU or how did you hear about us? That's what I mean when I'm interviewing. I'll ask that commonly, you know, why did you apply to us? And that would be a good opportunity for a student to say, you know, I've really wanted to go here. I've had some students that say, you know, this is in my top, you know, three for my undergrad. And you know, I have, you know, friends who go here and I've heard so many great things about it. And so I think there are windows of opportunity for you to be able to do that during your interview in kind of a more subtle fashion. Now, when it comes to follow-up information to the school, I do think it's a good thing for a student to express their interest in a school. But you want to be careful about, you know, if you truly know that this is, you know, this particular school is the school you want to go to, and you state that in your letter. Some refer to that as a letter of intent, although it's, I don't think there's really a genuine, you know, a true letter of intent. But if you state that, if offered an acceptance here, I would turn down all their offers. I wouldn't say that in my initial communication thank you note necessarily, but maybe in a follow up to the school 6 or 8 weeks later. You want to mean it. You don't want to send that same letter to eight schools. You know, you send that to the one school and, you know, you really have to, it's a small environment. You know, you want to make sure that you're being genuine about that. I think it's fine for you to tell multiple schools that I really enjoyed the experience and I'd be honored to be a medical school student if accepted, you know, that's fine as well. So that kind of goes into the follow-up correspondence that you do. When do you follow up with a school? I think when you have something to update the school, that's a good idea. Maybe 6 to 8 weeks after your interview, and you've already sent a thank you note, you know, immediately after your interview. And then you can briefly update, put an update to your application. But I would not make this a long letter. You know, another 2-page letter. I've even had some students say, can I send in another letter of recommendation from somebody? You know, no, you don't do that either. You know, you don't continue to send letters after the initial application. Yeah, I mean, expressing your interest is fine. Just you want to make sure you're not overbearing with it.
All right, folks. Again, Dr. Greg Politis from WashU in St. Louis. Amazing interview, tons of great information. I hope you found that very useful. If you did find it useful, go ahead and leave us a comment. If you have any questions, comments, or any other thoughts, go to the specific show notes page for this page, medicalschoolhq.net/91. If you have any questions for me specifically, you can email me, ryan@medicalschoolhq.net. You can go say hi to us on Twitter. I am @medicalschoolhq on Twitter. And if you want to leave us an honest rating and review in iTunes, we would greatly appreciate it. All of those ratings and reviews tell Apple and tell iTunes that you like us and that other people should find us. You can go to medicalschoolhq.net/iTunes to leave a review. It only takes a second of your time. Okay, maybe a little more than a second, but we're at episode 91. We want to do something special for episode 100. What are your thoughts? Let me know. ryan@medicalschoolhq.net. What should we do for episode 100? Email me with the subject episode 100. As always, I hope you got a ton of great information out of the show today, and I hope to see you next time here at the Medical School Headquarters.